bitch. Is that better? Is bitch better? Is bitch better? Is bitch better?
Hey, bitches. Welcome back to another episode of Bitches Better. I'm your host, Raven, and it's Dysfunctional Relationship Day. But first, I have an announcement to make. Remember a couple weeks ago when I said I was trying to get a schedule down and, you know, making some changes and to stay tuned? Well, guess what? I'm making a change. So I've been thinking about it for a while, and I've decided to shift the Love After Lockup and 90 Day Fiancé recaps over to Patreon. At first, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to stop doing these recaps altogether because significantly less people listen to these recap episodes compared to the Bravo ones. But then I decided, no, you know what? I'll keep doing them and I'll just treat them as bonus episodes. So those of you, you know, who want to listen still can. So if you're one of those people that still wants to listen, you'll need to go to patreon.com/bitchesbetter and subscribe for $5 a month to have access to those recaps moving forward, along with all the other bonus episodes that I do. So after today's episode, the Love After Lockup and 90 Day Fiancé recaps will no longer be on this main feed. And thank you so much for understanding. It's just what makes the most sense for me to do right now. Another thing to keep in mind about Patreon, when you subscribe, you're helping support the podcast. Like that way I can do more with it and make it better. After I'm done recapping season one of Married to Medicine, which is what I'm doing right now, I'm going to start doing more non-recap bonus episodes as well. Like maybe some Q&A episodes so you can get to know me better. Some episodes about random topics, deep dives, etc. I'm going to be getting loose over there and sharing a lot more than I do on the main podcast. So yeah, make sure you subscribe. It'll make me happy and it'll make you happy because you're going to love the content. I pinky promise. All right, now it's time to head into Love After Lockup land. I'm going to start with Brittany and Marcelino. So we left them. They were at the motel looking for Brittany's mom, but she's not in the room. And now Brittany is even more worried and she's freaking out and she's snapping on Marcelino, you know, and he's just trying to like give her directions as they're driving around and looking for the mom. And he's trying to help, but all he's doing is annoying her. And I'm just like, oh my God, Marcelino, just shut up. You know, she's like very worried and irritated and you're just making it worse. Like, you're the only person here, so of course she's taking that out on you. Is it fair? No. But it is what it is. So just be quiet and stop aggravating your wife in this moment. So then in his confessional, Marcelino says he doesn't even care what happens to Brittany's mom because she's a burden. And I was like, that is fucked up. And I know he doesn't actually mean that. Like, he can't. Because that is your wife's mother. No matter how many issues she has, it's still her mother at the end of the day, and she loves her. If something happens to her, then your wife is going to be heartbroken, and I know you don't want that. So don't say that you don't care what happens to her mom. Like, that's just so fucked up and gross. Ew. So they continue looking for her, and they're going all over the place, and they're like asking people on the street if they've seen her, and no one has. And it's getting later and later, and Marcelino is just over it. And Brittany's like, well, you can go home if you want to, but I'm not going to stop. And he knows he's not going to leave her out there alone. And he knows that she's not going to stop looking. So again, I say, shut up, Marcelino. Just continue with the looking. So they've been out there looking for Brittany's mom for like 5 hours at this point, and they still haven't found her. So they go back to the motel one more time just to check, and a bunch of cop cars pull up. And Brittany's like, oh my God, like, is that my mom? But it's not. Marcelino said that two crackheads got into a fight or something, and that's why the cops were there. So then they see her mom walking back up to the motel room, and Brittany rolls up on her and she's like, what the fuck, mom? And her mom is like, what are you doing here? And she's like, well, I've been looking for you all day. You've been ignoring my calls and texts. And she was like, oh, well, sorry, I'm fine. You know, I was just with my boyfriend. Like, everything's fine. And it's like, no, everything is not fine. Your daughter has been losing her shit all day because she thinks something horrible has happened to you. Ugh. So then Brittany was like, whatever, get in the car. You're coming home with me. And I was surprised that she actually went with her. So I don't know. Are they going to go get her help? I don't know what they're going to do. But I feel like you know, before Brittany was saying, oh, my mom will, if she wants to, if she loves me, she'll change and she'll stop doing the drugs and this and that. And considering the fact that Brittany is like a former drug addict herself, you know, you have to know that this is a sickness and it's not just as simple as like scooping her up and being like, well, if you love me, you'll stop. Like, she's sick. She needs help that you can't give her. And if your mom doesn't want help right now, unfortunately, there's nothing you can really do to help her. Like, it's sad, but true. But I wish nothing but the best for her. I hope that she gets some help and they can all be a happy family, but I don't know. So next up we have Andrea and Lamar. And Andrea is running around the house telling the kids to pack some bags because they are leaving. And I'm like, oh my God, where are y'all going? And this, Andrea is literally just one of the most unreasonable people I have ever seen. Also unhinged. And I mean, I watched all of the like trashy reality TV shows. So that's really saying something. So they're in the car and Andrea was like, don't even look at Lamar. Don't wave at him. Nothing. We're leaving. And I was like, damn, they can't even say bye. You are insane. She was like, you know what? Fuck Priscilla growing up with a father. Fuck him. I'm done. And I was just like, this is ridiculous. I feel so bad for those kids. Seriously, this is just awful. So then level-headed Tennyson is like, you know what? No, I'm not going to the hotel with y'all. I'm going to stay with Lamar. And Andrea was like, oh, so you just going to turn on your mama like that? Really? I was like, oh my God. And Tennyson was like, no, mom, it's not even like that. Like, don't do this. And later he explains, he's like, I'm staying with Lamar because I want him to feel like he has a family that loves him and understands him and listens to him and, you know, what he has to say, because that's what he does for us. And he says he doesn't want Priscilla growing up, you know, dealing with situations like this and thinking it's the norm, because that's where things are headed, you know, because she's super fucking calm throughout this whole situation. And Tennyson was like, this shit is just not normal. And I'm like, oh my God, seriously, what 18-year-old boy is this thoughtful and considerate? Like, especially one with a mother like Andrea. God really knew what he was doing with this one. He was like, okay, this woman is batshit. I'm going to make these kids super smart and responsible just to balance things out. And I'm like, oh my God, good call, God, good call. So Andrea is telling Nyla that she feels like Tennyson is always taking Lamar aside. And Nyla was like, nope, that's not it. That's not what's happening at all. And she's like, it's just that when y'all fight, we have to treat y'all like children. And that's just a really sad fact. And she was like, you know what? If y'all aren't happy together, then just don't be together. Seems like a simple solution to me. So Andrea and the girls, they get to the hotel and Andrea's talking about this whole situation with Nyla. And I'm like, stop it. You do not need to be talking about this shit with your kids. I don't care how mature they are. It's just not right. Like, they shouldn't have to deal with this. They're kids. So, and Andrea's like, well, I don't want my kids getting used to seeing this type of behavior and adapt to it. And I'm like, are you sure? Because you're the one who's doing it. Also, since you've come to this conclusion, you owe Tennyson an apology because you acted like he was crazy when he said this exact same shit to you before. Then Nyla was like, walking away for a while to cool off is fine, but that's not what you did. You blew up in front of all of us and then you walked away. Like, you have to communicate better or just split up. Like, those are your only options. And Andrea agreed, but is she actually gonna like do that and act on it? Doubtful. So now we're headed over to Lindsay and Scott, and Scott finally brings his ass home from Lord knows where he's been this whole time. So he walks in, he goes up to Lindsay and he's like, was all that necessary, in reference to all his shit being thrown outside? And she was just like, fuck you. And he was like, okay, I'm going to go outside. And she just sits there and continues to trash his office. She is like throwing papers all over the place, carving fuck you into his desk, opening up these pill bottles and throwing the pills all over the place. And I'm like, oh my God, I hope those pills aren't super important because, you know, you're mixing them all up. And Scott is just sitting outside and he's like, Lindsay isn't going to be able to function in a relationship if she continues to act this way. And she's probably going to end up back in prison. And listen, all of this is true. However, You, Scott, are the one who pursued a relationship with this young-ass girl who was locked up for drugs and running from the cops in a high-speed chase and whatever else. You knew what her temper was like, and you knew how unreasonable she was the entire time. And you continued on because you were like a disgusting predator, and you wanted a hot piece of ass to show off, so you didn't care. But now that she's acting up, which is what she does, you're upset. What the fuck did you expect? You knew the risk, babe. Like, I don't feel bad for him at all. Like, make better choices. So at this point, it's like a game to Lindsay, though, because she's like, you know, Scott is an emotionless robot, but I'm going to get some emotion out of him by the end of this. And I was like, oh, God, what are you going to do? You know, because she said the only reason she wasn't getting violent with him was because her mom told her not to. And I'm like, oh, so you're listening to what your mom says now. Okay, that's growth. That's growth. Whatever stops you from killing Scott is good with me. So then she goes outside and she's like, so what's up? You've been fucking prostitutes recently or what? And he's like, yeah, I met one in prison. And I was like, oh, okay. Scott has a death wish. Got it. So she just, you know, skips over that. And she just like repeats the question. And he says that she's out of her tree, which I assume means she's crazy. I've never heard that one before, but I'm like, context clues don't fail me now. So he says in his confessional that he has used an escort service in the past, but he tells Lindsay no. And he's just sitting there smoking a cigarette, cool as a cucumber. So then Lindsay was like, okay, are you broke or what? And he was like, no, I'm not broke. I know better than to expose my resources to you. And she was like, well, I found some, so ha. And he's clearly still lying. So Lindsay just continues on and she's like, oh, by the way, here's the book with the quote in it that you're so obsessed with. And she like throws it right at his face. And I laughed. I did. And then she stands up and she hovers over him and she's like, FYI, you don't make the rules. I make the rules. And Scott is like, Lindsay isn't the person that I met while she was in prison. No shit. If I had a dollar for every time one of these fools said that, I can't. You were being scammed, you idiot. I also want to know why Lindsay didn't bring up the fact that Scott was like making copies of her personal letters from family and friends that she got while she was in prison. Like, he can't lie his way out of that one. But maybe she just forgot. I don't know. So then Lindsay threatens him and she's like, everything that you did to me, I'm going to put back on you tenfold. So I suggest you do whatever you need to do to protect yourself because it's coming. Also, it's over and I will be fucking somebody else in your bed by this weekend. Know that. Then she flips the table, Teresa Giudice style, and she goes inside the house. And I was like, Scott, honestly, you just need to pack up your shit and leave. Like, this is her house now. You don't want these problems, okay? And that was it for them. Moving on to Destiny and Sean. So Destiny's court date is coming up and she's worried that she's going to get locked back up. You know, she's going to have to be in prison for like 7 years or something. So Sean is calling her and she's ignoring him per usual. And I was like, oh, well, I guess you don't need any money right now. Because if you did, you'd be answering the phone. And she was like, I'm just not going to talk to him. Like, he needs to give it up. And I'm like, bitch, what the fuck is wrong with you? What is wrong with this girl? She's literally spending his money, driving his car around using a phone that he pays for. And he's on the hook for $50,000 because he got you out of jail. You'd still be locked up if it wasn't for his dumb, irresponsible ass. The least you could do is answer the phone and tell him that you will absolutely be showing up to court. Then he'll leave you alone. I mean, he should at least. I would. I'd want nothing to do with that bitch, like, after all this. But I also wouldn't be in this situation. So, I mean. And if for some strange reason I was in this situation, I would have called the cops on her ass a long time ago. I would have reported my car and my credit card stolen, and I would have turned that phone off. Two can play that game, bitch. But in this situation, actually, only one can play that game because Sean is stupid. So what's really irritating to me is that she is like searching for reasons to be mad at Sean so she can be done with him. Like, she doesn't have an actual reason. And she's like, it's just not what I thought it was going to be. And I'm like, bitch, what did you think it was going to be? Like, what is the issue though? because he let you do whatever you wanted and spend all of his money, like, while you were doing it. All he asked for you to do was to show up to your court date. So what's the problem? Him talking to the mother of his 6 kids? No, you can fuck off for that one because you don't have a leg to stand on there. Just say, you know, you used him and you're done with him and you're moving on. Like, it's not like you're it's not like you're a good person and admitting to this would make you look bad. Like, you already look horrible. So who gives a shit? I don't know. So her mom is like, can you please just turn yourself in and, like, just do this the right way? Because I'm worried and I can't sleep at night because I'm so worried about you. Like, just please do the right thing for once, because I can't take too much more of this bullshit. And then Destiny talks about the sexual abuse she dealt with as a child at the hands of her uncle. And it's just awful. But she did send him to prison for 25 years to life. And I think that's great. I hope he rots in there. And she says that that's why she doesn't like going to court, because it takes her back to the time that, you know, she was in court having to testify against her uncle, and it fucks with her. And that's really sad to hear, you know, but I'm with her mom. Like, you got to face your fear and go to court anyways, because in the end, like, you're really just going to fuck yourself over if you don't. And she said also that her drug problem started from that whole sexual abuse situation, because she was using it to cope. And it's just really sad to hear, you know, because she clearly hasn't dealt with it. So she needs to get some therapy. I hope she does. So even after all that, though, she says she's still not sure if she's going to show up to court. And I'm like, okay, well, that's that. Moving on to Lacey and Shane. So Shane is out golfing with Lacey's dad, and it's actually really cute. It's nice that they have, like, such a close relationship, because Lacey's dad was not feeling him at first. So then as they're playing golf, John comes up in the conversation, and Lacey's dad is like, well, I heard John was out. And Shane is like, wait, you heard he's out, or you know he's out? Because I'll probably fuck him up if he tries anything with Lacey. And then his dad just completely tells him. He's like, yeah, that's exactly what I told Lacey when she told me that he was out. And I was like, oh no. And then Shane got this look in his eye, like, I'm gonna kill him. And I was like, oh no, this is not good. But I figured that the dad was gonna tell him, though. Because Lacey said she wasn't going to say anything. And her dad was like, well, I think you should, because it's shady. And, like, don't fuck things up with Shane for that loser. It's not worth it. And she was just like, whatever. So I guess right then he was like, I got something for Lacey's ass. I'm just going to tell him myself. So now Shane is concerned. And he is like, you know, I thought that Lacey and I were in a good place, but I guess not. Like, what else is this bitch hiding? Also says that if Lacey talks to John, he's going to bust him upside his head with a golf club. And I was like, no, please don't do that. If you do that, you're going back to prison for up to 15 years because of your probation. And you have a baby on the way. Don't do this. Meanwhile, Lacey is out having lunch with a friend, and John's creepy stalking ass is sitting outside of the restaurant. So he's been, like, stalking her social media and saw, like, where she was at. And now he's here and he's thinking about going in. And I'm like, I cannot handle this. Ever since he got out, all we have seen of him is, you know, just being creepy and, like, lurking outside of places where Lacey is. And it's scary. Like, let it go. So Lacey and her friend start talking about John. And she was like, yeah, John's out, but I'm not telling Shane because I don't want any drama. And I'm like, you are stupid. And the friend's like, well, has he contacted you? And she was like, yeah, but I haven't responded. And the friend was like, okay, so he hasn't shown up to your house or anything, though, has he? And she was like, oh, no, no way. And I was like, bitch, you have no idea. That text that he sent you, he was sitting right outside of your house when he did it. And he's right outside of the restaurant that you're sitting in right now. And I can't. But I do agree with John, though. Like, he said that she will respond to him at some point. And I'm like, absolutely she will. I'm positive. And that's going to be a mess. Oh, Jesus. Lord help him. Oh, God. Lord help Michael and Sarah, too. Okay. So they just got into a huge fight in Michael's hotel room right in front of the girls. And Sarah storms out with Aviana. And she leaves Rain in the room with Michael. So then this sweet little Aviana is like, Mommy, why did you slam the door? And Sarah's like, well, because you know how sometimes me and you argue? Adults are worse sometimes. And I was like, no, now you're teaching your daughter that what y'all just did is acceptable behavior. And it most certainly is not. Like, what the fuck? So Michael follows her outside and she's like, don't talk to me. And Michael's dumbass is like, I don't even know how this fight started. Allow me to tell you, Michael. It started when you told that bullface lie talking about you were always there for your daughters and the only time you weren't there was because Sarah stopped you. Because no, you were not. Like, that is false. And that made Sarah mad, rightfully so. Side note, Sarah sent Aviana inside of the hotel while her and Michael were outside in the parking lot arguing. Like, she sent her in there by herself. So now you're expecting the hotel staff to look after your child, which is ridiculous. I mean, if they probably will, if they're a decent person, they see a kid walking around alone, they're going to be like, let me keep an eye on them. But it's not their job to. What if they get busy and like anyone in that hotel could snatch her up and you'd have no idea? Like, don't do shit like that. It's irresponsible. So Michael continues with his bullshit saying, you know, how he came to New York after he got out of prison. But he didn't stay there once he got off house arrest. He went down to Miami to fuck some bitches. And it's like, he thinks it's fine that he did that because they weren't together. And I'm like, no, you're missing the point, honey. Your kids are in New York. And if being around them was as important to you as you're saying, you wouldn't have moved away immediately, like regardless of whether you and Sarah were together or not. Like, your words and your actions aren't matching up. So then Sarah's like, you know what? I'm done talking to you. You're a lying piece of shit. And I was like, well, all true. Then she's like, you know what? This is why I'm with Malcolm, because he respects me. And respect is important to me after dealing with all the disrespect from Michael. And I'm like, no. You low-key enjoy this shit with Michael because you keep going back. Like, you thrive on this bullshit and drama. And you already fucked it up with Malcolm because of that. So, like, you don't deserve him. You and Michael deserve each other. You're both trash. Another side note. They're all over these people's hotel, yelling and fighting through the lobby outside. And this is the same hotel that they were fighting outside of on the last season with Maria and, like, almost calling the cops on them and kicking them out. So I'm like, how did you even let them back in here? It doesn't make any sense. So then Sarah scoops up the girls and she leaves. And Michael's like, you know what, Sarah, this got out of hand. I'm just going to come over to your house and talk to you later. And she was like, okay. Okay? No. Stay away from each other. These talks never go well. How don't y'all know this by now? Oh my God. They are crazy. So then we get previews for what else is to come on this season. And y'all, it is a mess. So Christiana and John are back. And it looks like he's about to kiss her sister. What the fuck? And then we see Destiny and she's talking about she's married, surprise bitches. Like, oh my God, Sean, you fucking idiot. We see Lacey. She's meeting up with John. No surprise there. We see Malcolm. He's back. I am surprised by that. Then we see Chevelle trying on wedding dresses. And I'm just like, oh my God, what a fucking mess. I can't wait. All right. Time for 90 Day Fiancé. And I'm starting with my favorites. And oh my goodness. Brandon and Julia. Okay. So his parents are going on a trip for the night. And I can't believe it. And like, as they're walking out, his mom is like, call me if you need anything. He won't need anything. He's a grown man and he's here with his fiance and he's going to be really busy fucking her the whole time. So he's not going to need anything from you. Okay. But yeah, I really am so shocked that they leave them home alone. You know, his mom was probably like, Brandon, no girls in your room. Remember the rules, and some annoying shit like that probably. So later on, Julia says she wants to get in the hot tub and she shows up naked. And then Brandon takes his clothes off so fucking fast. I've never seen anything like it. And then they get in the hot tub, and I imagine after that they have sex all over the house. But their fun doesn't last too long, because the next morning his parents are back, and the mom is like, can y'all come with me? I need to show you something. And I was like, oh God, it's never anything good when your mom comes to you saying that. Never. So she takes them out to the hot tub and she's like, you know the rules, don't leave the hot tub looking like that. And I guess the cover wasn't put on right or something. I don't know. I didn't know what I was looking at there. And apparently the water was cloudy. And she's like, were you guys naked in the hot tub? And I was like, where the fuck is this going? And she's like, are you sure you didn't wear clothes in there? And Brandon was like, no, we were naked. And I was so confused, y'all. I had to rewind it. So the rule is, you got to be naked when you go into the hot tub, because if you wear clothes in there, it, you know, it throws off the pH levels and the water gets cloudy. Then you got to drain the water and it's a whole thing. And I was like, okay, so let me get this straight. They can't share a room, but they have to be naked when they get in the hot tub together. And they're not supposed to have sex in there either. Okay, got it. And also, his mom says that the hot tub is used for therapy, not entertainment. Like, what? Is any fun allowed to be had at this house in this farm? Like, this is crazy. So something else his mom says is that she doesn't know the exact date and time that Brandon lost his virginity, but she knows that she had to drain the hot tub a lot. So I guess Brandon was having a lot of sex in there or wearing clothes in there. It's unclear. But I do not believe that she doesn't know when he lost his virginity. She's way too involved not to know. So she can keep that. So by now, Julia has had it with Brandon and his parents. She's like, you need to stand up to your parents. Stop telling them what they want to hear and just say how you feel. And I was like, I could not agree more. Then Brandon's parents are doing shit on the farm and they're bitching because Brandon isn't really doing all of his chores anymore because he's been trying to spend time with Julia and make her feel comfortable, as he should be. What the fuck are they going to do when he moves away? Because he's absolutely going to do that if he stays with Julia. Well, if Julia decides to stay with him. It's just ridiculous. I've never seen anything like it. So then they were like, oh, he's probably in there giving her tea and breakfast in bed. And that pisses me off. And I'm like, what? Why would that piss you off? What is wrong with you? And Brandon's dad is just going off. He's mad that Julia isn't doing anything to help out on the farm. And to that I say, I mean, you need to let that go. He's like, if she's going to live here and eat and be comfortable, she's going to have to contribute. Sir, nobody told her any of that before she came. It's not right for them to be treating her that way. I'm sorry, but it's not. And it's like, I don't know. Did y'all just like bite off a little bit more than y'all could chew with this whole letting Julia stay with y'all situation? Because you seem really on edge. And they're literally just so mad that Julia, you know, isn't happy to be working on the farm like all fucking day. And I just, like, I have to laugh. Like, she is from this city. Are they forgetting that? Or do they just not care? You know? They're like, fuck that. You're here now. Do what we say, just like Brandon does. But she won't, you know? And now they're about to short circuit, especially the dad. Something is like really wrong with him. Don't y'all think? Like he's got something ain't right up in his head. And the mom is like, you know, I just really wish Julia would get with the program. She said, we want to gain a daughter instead of losing a son. That is not what's happening here at all. Like, you've got to stop being so dramatic. Like, your son is a grown man and he will absolutely be leaving you at some point. The sooner you get that through your incredibly weird and controlling brains, the better. Like, his parents have been controlling him for so long, they don't know how to act when he starts, like, challenging what they say and giving them some pushback. And I mean, he's barely even doing that, like, barely. So that night, Brandon and Julia are hanging out and his mom's like, oh, we all need to have a talk. And I'm like, oh my God, chill. We just did. We just had a talk. Come on. So the dad comes in hot. He is firing on all cylinders. Literally, the first thing that they say is, that Brandon has been spending all of his time with Julia and they don't see him or spend any time with him anymore. And I'm like, so that is the real issue. That's their main concern. The issue isn't Brandon not doing his chores. They're just jealous of Julia and the time that she's getting to spend with him. And then they get on Julia about not waking up early enough to feed the animals because the animals need to be fed at the same time every morning. Perfect. So y'all make sure they get fed at the same time every morning then, just like you were doing before she got there. Like, I'm not doing it. I'm not feeding the fucking animals. I already told you that. So then Brandon blames Julia for him not getting out there and doing his work on time because when he brings her tea in the morning, you know, she wants him to stay and hang out with her a bit. And I'm like, Brandon, if you don't grow a fucking backbone, oh my God. And Julia was like, what you're not going to do is sit here and blame me. Like, you can go do your work if you want to. Like, don't put it on me. And I was like, yeah, Julia, let him know. And then this is where it gets completely out of hand. They're like, well, you can't bring her tea in the morning anymore. Fuck off. Fuck all the way off. Yes, he can. That is absurd. He can give her tea and then go do his work. Like, they are so unreasonable and controlling with these weird rules. Like, I can't handle it. Like, y'all don't let them share a room and now he can't bring her tea either. Like, maybe if y'all let them share a room, she wouldn't be begging for him to stay in bed with her in the fucking morning. Ever think of that? Of course not. Because they want to continue treating him like he's a fucking child. And he's okay with it. It's so disgusting. So after that, Julia just got up and she left. She was like, yeah, I need to, like, spend some time alone. Okay. And Brandon stays sitting there looking like a fucking child. Like, speak up, Brandon, for the love of God. But he won't. And then they tell him that he needs to get it together because you only have 90 days before you have to get married and you're not ready. Gee, I wonder why he's not ready. And then Brandon just gets up and he leaves without a word. And he says he doesn't want to fight with them or even say anything because it just goes nowhere. And I'm like, well, that's a big part of the problem here. Like, he is okay with being controlled. Like, he's terrified of them and it's weird. So then Julia goes into his room to talk to him about what just happened. And he's like, I can't get anything done now that you're here. I was getting everything done before you came. Like, don't fucking do that, Brandon. Because now you're sounding like your parents. And it's really fucking weird. You can get your stuff done if you want to. And, you know, you just don't, because you won't ever open your mouth up and say anything to either your parents or Julia about the situation. Like, you're being a little baby. And then he tells her to try and work with his parents on this a little bit. No, you can let them control you all that, you know, all you want, but they will not control me. Like, fuck all of y'all. I can't. So the next morning, Julia actually gets up to help. And the mom's like, oh, good morning. Did you sleep well? And before she could even answer, the dad is like, oh, you slept late. Fuck you. What an unnecessary comment. Like, what is his fucking problem? Why is he so grumpy and nasty all the time? Like, maybe they need to go away for longer than just like one night. And the mom needs to give him a blowjob or fuck him or something because he is so cranky and it makes no sense. No sense at all. And then Brandon and his dad are talking and his dad is asking Brandon, like, well, what did Julia say after the conversation last night? And Brandon was like, well, she said she'd try. And the dad is like, well, why didn't she get up this morning then? What? She fucking did get up. She's feeding the animals with your wife right now. What are you talking about? And I'm just like, oh my God, isn't controlling Brandon enough for you? Like, you got to try and control Julia too? What? Well, bitch, you got the wrong one, because I feel like she has just about reached her limit with this shit. I wouldn't have lasted nearly as long. Julia is an angel, truly. So anyway, then Brandon's dad is like, all of this is going to be yours one day. Do you really want to give it up? I'm like, who told you he wanted this raggedy farm in the first place? And of course, Brandon says nothing. He's just looking at him. But in his confessional, he says the farm was never his dream. but he won't say it to them. And that's the problem. I'm like, grow a fucking backbone, Brandon. What do you think they're going to do to you? Like, what do you think is going to happen? Are they going to give you a spanking or something? Grow a fucking backbone. Julia does not want to be with spineless mama's boy. No one does. Ugh. So, ooh, now my blood pressure is all up. They really get me, they really make me so angry. Okay, let me calm down. Let's move on to Rebecca and Zied. So, they are done with the interrogation dinner with Tiffany and Micah, and Zied is extremely excited about that dinner being over and, you know, just being able to go home and get some rest. Oh, but then they get home and he has Rebecca in his face being like, are you okay? You're acting weird. You don't seem happy. Bitch, he's exhausted. He traveled for 24 hours and then you made him have this stupid dinner with your daughter and her fiance. And then she's like, oh no, what if he's second guessing his decision? What if he isn't happy? He's fucking tired. He wants to take a shower and go to sleep. Relax. So the next day, Rebecca has to go to work. So Zied is left home all alone. And a side note, why is there a shopping cart in the middle of her apartment? Did y'all notice that? Like, what is it doing there? What is its purpose? It's fucking weird. So anyway, then he calls his mom and he's showing her the apartment and he's telling her about the dinner with Tiffany and Micah and how uncomfortable they made him feel. And his mom, bless her, she is just like so worried and she's sad, you know, that he's gone and he's living in what she thinks is an outdated apartment with no furniture in a weird shopping cart in the living room area, you know, and I would be concerned too. I am concerned. I am. And Zied, oh, he's feeling homesick already, poor thing. Like, he already wants to go home for a visit, and he just got there yesterday, and I'm like, this is not a good sign. And apparently, he can't go back home until, like, he gets his green card or something. Or maybe it's like he can go, but he can't come back to the States if he leaves. I don't know. So after Rebecca tells him that he probably can't go back home for, like, a year, he's looking like, oh my God, I made a big mistake. Huge. And I was like, probably so. You didn't fully think this one through, did you? Oh. So, oh, and then the shopping cart mystery is solved. Zied used the shopping cart to bring his boxes in from Rebecca's car. So I guess that's what it's for. I don't know. Unclear. So that's it for them. And then we have Mike and Natalie, and Natalie is back on the ring bullshit again. She's looking all over the house for the ring, like literally searching through his shit. And my thing is, even if she found the ring, like what was she going to do? Like just put it back on? Was she going to tell Mike she found it? Like seriously. So then Mike can be like, how did you find that, you freak? Also, give it back to me. Like, he said he's not even sure if he wants to marry you. Bitch, take a hint. Like, give it a rest. Ugh. So, while she's looking for the ring, she finds a safe in the closet that she calls stinky. Yeah, but it wasn't too stinky for her to be snooping through it, was it? Mm-hmm. So, she's like, oh, the ring's probably in the safe. And she stops looking. So now it's dinner time and they're going to have shrimp and vegetables and rice. And Mike says that he's going to stir fry it. And Natalie's like, no, steam it. It's healthier. We don't need fried food. I don't want that. And he's trying to explain that it's not actually going to be fried, but she's not hearing it. And she just goes straight into control mode again. She's like, you're never going to lose weight. Oh, and now you're drinking a beer. You don't need alcohol. I wish you would drink water. Like, girl, shut up. Oh my God. The man works hard every day. Get off his back. And thank God Mike blew her off. He was like, oh, I am having a beer. I am absolutely gonna drink. So shut up. And I was like, yes, tell her. And so then she tells him that she was looking for the ring. And I was shocked about that. And he was like, oh, really? Okay, so where is it? And she was like, it's in the safe. And he was like, no, it's not. And she was like, okay, well, then you sold it. And Mike was like, well, I got to pay the bill somehow. And I laughed so hard because he didn't sell it. But the fact that he said that just to piss her off and shut her up about it was hilarious to me. hilarious. And he's like, why are you even looking for it now? Like, you didn't want it. You threw it back at me. You gave it back, remember? And she completely ignores that. And then she says that he's disrespecting her by not giving it back. And he's like, you disrespected me when you gave it back because you said you didn't love me, remember? And I'm like, exactly. And I'm like, you know what? You're just mad at yourself for giving it back in the first place. Like, don't be mad at him for not giving it back to you just because you decided you want it back now. Like, how does he know you're not going to do the same shit again? He doesn't. So then for reasons unknown to me, she asked Mike, what is his IQ? And he doesn't know. And I'm like, is that something that people just know? Like, I don't know what mine is. Anyway, then she said hers is high. And she's like, have you ever been to like a museum? And I'm like, bitch, who cares? What is your point? Where are you going with this? And then she just says, low class. And he's like, pardon? And she was like, I live in low class now. Girl, fuck you. You know what? Get out of my low-class home then. Like, how fucking rude. I couldn't believe it. Seriously, my jaw dropped. Like, she said some shit before, but this was just so disgusting. So, like, the way my temper is set up, like, that would have been the end of the night. Like, we're not having dinner together, okay? Because fuck you. But not Mike. He's like, okay. I'm brushing that off for now. And he's like, oh, look, the food is ready. Yay. And he like rubs her arms. And this bitch is like, you're a low class drunk man. Don't touch me. I'm scared of you. Don't do that shit. He wasn't angry or aggressive or drunk. So don't even do that. We're not going down that road. That's bullshit. Okay. So that's when he was like, okay, you know what? You're doing a lot. Why do you think you're better than me? Tell me right now why you think you're better than me and why I'm so low class and below you. Like, explain it. And of course, she doesn't have a response and she's a fucking asshole. And I'm just like, you know what? You are never getting that ring back. And obviously you don't want it back because you wouldn't be acting the way that you are right now, you crazy bitch. Ugh. So that's it for them. Moving on to Yara and Jovi. Jovi's mom invited Yara to go get coffee with her and Jovi's aunt. And of course, you know, they have their concerns about whether she's here for the right reasons or not, blah, 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 usual 90-day fiance stuff. And then Yara explains, why she wears her engagement ring on her right hand instead of the left. She said in her culture, the only people who wear it on their left hands are the ones whose spouses have died. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. And like, I know some other people on past seasons have worn their rings on their right hands as well. They weren't necessarily from Ukraine either, but I wonder if it was for that same reason or like something similar to it, you know, cause my ignorant American ass was always thinking like wrong hand, but no, the more you know. So the plan is for Yara and Jovi to just go to Vegas and get married because Yara doesn't want to have a big wedding without her family being there, which is fair. You know, they can do that later. But Jovi's mom isn't hearing it. She's like, well, I'm going to do it anyway because I want my son to have a big celebration. I'm like, oh, whatever. So then it comes up that Yara has been engaged before. But she decided she didn't want to marry this guy, and so she didn't, and that was that. And Jovi's mom is over here acting like it's the shock of the century. Like, why? It's not shocking at all. People get engaged and break up, like, all the time. Like, that's something that happens. Just because you didn't know doesn't make it shocking. You don't have to know everything. Like, I bet you didn't know that your son left Yara all alone in another country after her miscarriage and she had to have surgery and he left her alone for that. That's shocking. That is shocking. So anyway, later on, Yara is talking about she's homesick and depressed and like actually sick. So she's thinking she might be pregnant. And so, you know, now she needs to take a test. And I'm like, oh, Lord, this is the last thing that they need right now. So we'll see. Then we have Andrew and Amira. Oh, and Andrew is delivering his I feel powerless. I'm exhausting my resources, like monologue again. And I'm like, No, the fuck you are not. You barely did anything. Like, you called the airport a few times, but Amira's dad is the one that's doing all the heavy lifting. Because you've proven yourself to be useless. So shut up. And then he's like, I feel like Amira might blame me for this. You feel like she might blame you? Why wouldn't she blame you? You literally told her if she loved you, she would go along with this crazy travel plan of yours, you manipulative ass clown. So then he sees that Amira is online. So he messages her a couple times and she responds and she says she's okay, but she's on a flight to Amsterdam. So they're sending her back, you know, to France. No thanks to Andrew's dumbass. I would literally never speak to him again. Like, he would have been left on red. And honestly, that would have been the best thing for him. Because if I didn't leave him on red, like, he would have been getting his feelings hurt in a major, major way. So anyway, then we see Amira in a hotel room, and she looks incredible. She is gorgeous. But then she breaks down, and rightfully so. And apparently, after Andrew found out that she was on the way back to Europe, he didn't even reach back out to her to see if she made it or, like, check back in at all. You fucking asshole. She's been through this traumatic-ass experience that only happened because he guilted her into going to Mexico, and he isn't even checking in on her. Like, fuck you, Andrew. Ugh. And then she talks about her experience while she was in the detention center, and I just feel so bad for her. Like, I cannot even imagine what that must have been like. It's just really sad. And then we have Tariq and Hazel, and they're out to lunch, and Tariq is wearing that Tarzal necklace again, and it's very distracting because it's stupid and also ugly. And I want to know what Hazel thinks of it. Like, does she think it's cute and sweet, or does she think it's stupid? Like, but she probably doesn't even notice it, though, because she's more concerned with the sexy girls in Virginia Beach. And she says that when she was back home in the Philippines, she didn't feel comfortable dating girls because her family is super religious and they probably wouldn't accept her, which is so sad. But now that she's in the States, she is ready for some American WAP. And I want that for her as well. Like, let's get it. So she explains that the problem with Minty, who is their ex-girlfriend, was that she felt left out in the whole relationship. She felt like Tariq liked Minty more than he liked her because he and Minty would be speaking Thai together. And Hazel doesn't speak Thai. So she'd just be sitting there, like, twiddling her thumbs while they're having, like, a good old time kikiing about God knows what. And honestly, I don't know. I just don't know how a throuple could even exist without some level of jealousy, you know? I don't know. Like, what do I know? I've never been in a throuple, and I don't see it ever happening for me. So then Hazel is like, oh, by the way, I know you're still talking to Minty. And he was like, oh, I was gonna tell you. Like, it's just that the virus hit. And shut up, Tariq. And that's exactly what she said. Hazel was like, oh, the virus hit, right. Mm-hmm. COVID has nothing to do with you telling me about speaking to her, but carry on with your lie. Go ahead. So he was like, I was just worried about her because the virus hit where she was. Okay, you still could have told Hazel that you were gonna reach out to Minty and check on her for that reason. Stupid. And then he's like, I just really wish I had the opportunity to tell her before she went through my phone and saw the messages. What? You did have the opportunity. You just didn't take it, you idiot. Shut up. Oh my God. And that was it. Next time, we see Stephanie, and she's in Belize with Ryan, and she's going through his phone because he's talking to bitches again. And then we see Andrew saying, oh, we may need to do this again in another country. And I was like, I know you, Ryan. I know. We also see Julia saying that she wants to leave, and I'm like, mm-hmm. And it looks like a really good episode, so I'm excited about it. So remember, if you want to hear these 90-day and Love After Lockup recaps moving forward, make sure you go to patreon.com/bitchesbetter and become a patron. You'll get access to all of the bonus episodes. So, and make sure you follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mainly Bravo. I'll be back on Friday to talk Bravo. Love y'all. Bye.